subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
Since y'all were recruiting me, like, I haven't felt that much love, and I couldn't really take any visits, but phone calls and just the conversations we had, you know, really piqued my interest, and I didn't want to really wait around.
Recruiting Thursday here on the Morning Rush, and the Arkansas basketball staff continues to work in that area. They get another signee yesterday, Chris Likes out of Miami, who I know a lot of you are very excited about. You did have a guy depart. Ethan Henderson has entered his name in the transfer portal. Speaking of Arkansas basketball, the Arizona job has come open, and I know some of you are intrigued. Worried might be a word. Clay Henry's not going to be worried about this, but some of you are concerned if Eric Musselman was at least interested in that opening with the Arizona Wildcats. With the transfer portal being so prominent right now, for all of you that live in the state of Arkansas, we're going to have a fun game this morning. If you had to transfer somewhere outside of the state to a particular city, or out of the United States for that matter, and it was, you could transfer anywhere you wanted to, where would that be? I also want to tie in a food conversation this morning. What is the best breakfast sandwich out there? We'll get into all that coming up here on a Recruiting Thursday.
How you doing?
I am A-okay this morning. I took a long nap. I took about an hour nap yesterday with my dad last night. The national championship came up a little bit. Gave him credit to where credit was due. He was telling me about all the Baylor stuff coming. One of the things I'm hoping that happens, and this is actually, I'll give him credit for this, Big 12 SEC Challenge next year.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two options for Arkansas if you're the SEC in the Big 12. It's Texas and Chris Beard in Fayetteville, and it's Baylor and Scott Drew in Fayetteville. Both those teams played on the road played at home this past year. Arkansas played on the road in Stillwater. Both would be rematches of the NCAA tournament games. It's right there in front of you. Make the right decision. Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby.
You left out the most important people, though. The people that really make the decisions. It's not Greg Sankey. Not Bob Bowlesby.
Juracek and whoever, and Chris DeLaconte.
No, they don't. That, you'd like to think their opinions really mattered, but they don't.
Jimmy Pitaro.
There you go.
I should probably know the ESPN president's name. Is it Pietro or Pitaro?
Pitari.
I did say it right? Okay.
Yeah, so those are the people that, while I agree with everything you said, Arkansas should play one of those two schools. I find it not impossible, but probably improbable. Because it's about TV matchups, you know.
So, is that not an intriguing TV matchup?
But they're not, you know, they're not worried about the, they're going to get the Arkansas markets, and they're probably going to get the Texas or Baylor fan base to watch in that state. So, you know, they're more worried about, you know, because who does Kentucky generally play? You know, more often than not in this deal, it's been who? Kansas, right? Because why? That's a great, big, sexy national matchup that Blue Bloods and people will tune in Connecticut or Washington or any state in between because those names. The problem we still have is this TV market here doesn't draw enough on its own, so it's got to be a matchup that's going to intrigue the rest of the country. And Baylor's going to be a team that, well, it wouldn't surprise me if they played Kentucky or if they played Florida.
They've lost a lot. They'll lose Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, Macy Oteague, Tachachua, I think is his name. They do have some guys coming in that my dad was telling me about.
Your dad's saying is absolutely right. I just don't have faith that it will happen. I hope it does, though.
I think there's a good chance it could happen with one of those two schools. Now, if you just told me it was only a chance for one of them, but I think if you put two of those schools in
Texas
there,
is more likely than Baylor, would be my guess.
Listen, Chris Beard, Eric Musselman, based on the game that we got in the round of 32 mm-hmm. that put Arkansas in the Sweet 16. I am all for that.
Yeah.
All for that. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, obviously the basketball team and the roster turnover, I think, is intriguing a lot of people because I don't say we're all on the edge of our seats, but I think this is an interesting watch from afar. And there's a lot of angles and a lot of wrinkles here. You know, when Likes was announced yesterday, I read that press release.
And that was Tara Talmadge in Pig Trail Nation at the top of our open, by the way, talking with him about why he decided to come to Arkansas. I want to make sure to give them credit where credit's due.
First line, and I don't know if I'd have led with this, but this is how they wrote the release, is, you know, a 5'7 guard. And then got to his name and all the information in the U of A release yesterday. And I was in the ESPN 99.5 studio and office building yesterday when it came out. And I heard Orange saying, 5'7". I was like, hell, I'm taller than that. You know, that was the kind of my response is that. And then you go to read all of the things in the preseason, all ACC, and you're a pretty good player. But, you know, 5'7 was probably not where I'd have led the press release yesterday.
He only got a chance to play two games this past season because he hurt his ankle pretty bad. Coming out of high school, he was a consensus top 100 recruit. Mm-hmm. Junior, he averaged 15 points. Sophomore, he averaged 16 points, shooting about 35% from the three-point line, 78% from the free throw line for his career. He's a dynamite player if you've gotten a chance to watch him, and seeks out contact, which I thought was kind of cool. And one of the things that Tara and Kevin of the Pitrol Nation discussed with him yesterday is his involvement and his want to be a part of a winning program and how that Elite Eight run helped make his decision. There were some really cool tidbits in that conversation with them, and I think you have to be excited about him. Apparently, he's already had a conversation or two with DC Tony, the incoming Pitt transfer. And both these guys have signed, by the way. They haven't committed. They've signed. So you've already, this isn't like they've committed, they've signed. They've already gone past that. So you should be excited. And Arkansas doesn't seem to be done anytime soon. There could be a kid out of South Dakota that's coming. I know there's others that they're still high on that they're either in their top four or top two. So this is going to continue to be a prominent area of Arkansas basketball, and I don't anticipate it slowing down anytime soon, especially since we both are assuming that Moses Moody is going to enter his name in the NBA draft sooner than later.
And I was reading, you probably got the name down. I had about one eye open this morning. I was reading through Twitter and about 3:45, and there's another player that Arkansas and about four other schools are going to talk with on Zoom today. And I know, so what
kid out of East Carolina?
Yes, that was one. He's ECU kid.
There's so many that Arkansas's involved with. I just know schools at this point. I don't know names.
So I mean, I should, you know, it exactly. But my point is, this staff doesn't seem to be done. And just because you talk to someone doesn't mean you're going to bring them in. But the reality is, you know, it seems to be full steam ahead. I know we're going to get to the Arizona job angle. Some people were concerned when Sean Miller was let go yesterday or not renewed with a year to go on his contract at Arizona, that's a job out west. And I have consistently said these Pac-12 jobs worry me more than anything else. I don't know if Arizona's the one, but from all indications, Eric Musselman and his staff, they're not taking their foot off the gas as far as trying to build this roster for next year. Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a fun next couple of weeks and next couple of years for Arkansas basketball. And there's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz around this program, and there should be the way the staff continues to work in the transfer portal.
Yeah, absolutely.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action, including March Madness. They have you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up right now on BetOnline. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So a little spring game update. And by the way, I know we're officially doing a post game for next Saturday.
We're going to do a pre and a post game.
Pre and post. Yeah. Okay.
We'll be giving you times next week on all of that. There's about a 2-hour gap between the likely end of the spring game football broadcast and the start of the baseball, hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
And we will be with you to keep you entertained between the spring game in football and Arkansas and Texas A&M, which is next weekend, and Fayetteville in baseball.
Okay, cool. So you got an email last night, as a lot of other season ticket holders and Razorback fans can see it at ArkansasRazorbacks.com. The game next week is free. You got to claim your tickets online. You're going to pick your seats when you claim those tickets. Social distancing, masks, typical stuff required. They're only doing mobile tickets like they have been doing. Mm-hmm. No cash transactions at the concession stand. You got to use a credit or debit card. No tailgating. The gates are going to open at 1 o'clock. Seating, lower level, west, south, east sides, Reynolds Razorback Stadium, traditional game, traditional scoring. I miss out on anything important?
I think you went through it. Four quarters. Generally, in the past, we'll see what they do this year. They've run the clock in the second half. So the first half, more of a normal pace. In the second half, it's a much faster second half. People start to wane a little bit after the halftime. Won't be a lengthy halftime, but they didn't put that in the email, but that's generally what has occurred in recent years. Now, we'll see what Sam Pittman does. We've never seen a Sam Pittman red-white game in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Arkansas basketball news. One enters, one goes. Ethan Henderson has entered the transfer portal, and you got an all-ACC guard in Chris Likes out of Miami. 5'7 was the first thing you noticed about his bio, but kid's got heart over height. I think that's definitely going to be a characterization that's used once or twice this upcoming season. You should be really excited about this young man that has taken his talents to Fayetteville.
Yeah, and in Must We Trust, as the hashtag says, he has a way to pick through the pieces of the puzzle that are out there in this transfer portal and figure out the ones that fit. At least that's what we saw this past year and who he brought in. And then he molds and shapes it to really make it perfect. So he sees something clearly that he thinks fits what Arkansas needs this year. And that, to me, that was just the first thing that stood out, because generally a basketball player released is, was that 5 supposed to be a 6'7 guard, right? Not 5'7 guard, no, 5'7 guard.
And they've been getting guys. You think about DC Tony, kid there going up from South Dakota State. They're both 6'6. Well, this is just kind of a change of pace. And
sure.
Earl Boykins, 5'5, who's a part of the Arkansas staff, had a long career in the NBA, which Eric Musselman was a part of. He's shown the ability to play with smaller and coach smaller guards. Likes is in that same category.
Yeah, and I guess Likes and Musselman can truly have an eye-to-eye conversation. So
he can't have
I can fit right in with him.
He can't have many conversations like that,
right?
But he can with Chris Likes. Arkansas baseball picked up another win last night over the Euler. What do they go by? Little Rock?
Little
Rock Trojans.
Yeah.
They're Euler to me. I grew up as them as Euler. They'll always be Euler to me.
They don't like that.
I don't really care. They won 10-3 last night over the Trojans. You get Ole Miss this weekend.
On to Oxford.
Is
it now 25-4? Going off memory, I think that's right. I got the box score right here. I guess I can look at it. 24-4 after last night.
Okay.
So
Ole Miss, I think one of their best players is out for the season. You probably know this more than I do, SmackDown, because Phil's probably been talking about it. Who'd they lose?
Well, I can't recall the guy's name off the top of my head, but I think it was like their star first baseman, tore his ACL, out for the year. So you got a prime opportunity here.
Bless his heart.
Poor thing. So I don't know if necessarily this is a sweep type of a series, and it's one of the hardest venues to go win in. It's Swayze Field, so...
What one's easy? Tell me that. Tell me the ones on the road in the SEC West.
None of them are, but
that are easy.
None of them, but none of us probably would have thought that that you go in and sweep Mississippi State.
It's a big series. I mean, I think you're playing for national seeding. You're playing for conference seeding. This is a huge one. Both teams 7-2 at the top of the West. So this is going to decide who leads the West after this weekend, because Mississippi State's in third at 5-4. I wouldn't say it's a top-heavy league yet because you're 3 weekends in, but mm-hmm. you know, you got two teams at 7-2 at the top, LSU and Auburn, bless their hearts.
Where's LSU at?
1-8 oh at goodness. The bottom oh. In conference
let
games.
Me, let me ask you something.
Bless their hearts.
Because I'll be in Baton Rouge the final weekend of April for that LSU series going behind enemy lines. What would be better for me and the Arkansas Morning Rush listeners that I'll be with? A good LSU team or a bad LSU team? What's scarier? A bunch of ticked off LSU fans or them being happy because they might give Arkansas a series for my own safety? Because I'd rather not get hit by a whiskey bottle like Clay did if I can avoid that. But I will. And I'm wondering, can I get away with, like, can I wear Razorback red without getting
hit or punched? Oh, I think baseball is a little less, well, this year they won't, the fans, they being LSU fans, probably won't be. They'll just be drunk because they're drinking
misery.
Away. They'll be more drunk than usual, drinking away their misery, particularly if you get down there and they've only won a game or two more by the time you get there. That's at the end of the month, but in conference play at least. But I think you'll have a great time there at Baton Rouge. That's one of the – I'm kind of like you. I want to get to every SEC mm-hmm. campus and venue before I'm done with all this. So LSU's a good one to check off the list.
It always,
your first time, right?
Yeah, first time. Yeah. It always – helps. Phil gets his stuff like paid for and he stays in a hotel or whatever with the team. Mm-hmm. I have the luxury where I have a handful of buddies that are in these different college towns or towns that are cool and it's a free place to stay.
Is there a Wild Beaver Saloon in Baton Rouge? Have we checked that?
Oh, there is.
We need to look the website.
There is a Fred's down there, a place that Ryan Russillo likes to frequent. So I bet I can figure out the watering hole that I need.
Well,
and I'm excited about the food because I had some Fish City last night, Tommy, which is excellent Cajun stuff. And we know the guys over at Ruskin and Zach really enjoying them being part of the podcast. I love Cajun food and... The fact that I'm going to Baton Rouge this month and then going to New Orleans at the end of May, I'll get my fill in when it comes to that type of gourmet cuisine. No question about it.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. I mean, this Arkansas-Ole Miss game or Ole Miss series, I think it's worth paying attention to, not just because your team's playing. I know the mm-hmm. Masters is going to be on. There's other things this weekend, but huge series here. The fourth weekend in to SEC play, not quite halfway there for who's going to lead the West. So big stuff this weekend. Vanderbilt, as you'd expect, top of the East right now with Tennessee a game back.
I hope that Arkansas sees them in Omaha because I think that'd be a heck of a Yeah, only in Omaha. All right, so you mentioned the Masters. Did you see the weather this weekend?
No, I have not.
So Friday,
probably should do that.
Chance of scattered thunderstorms. Saturday, chance of thunderstorms, 80% chance of participation. The weather doesn't look like it's going to be great in Augusta, Georgia this weekend for the premier tournament in golf.
You know, April showers bring May flowers. So.
I mean, you're the residential golf guy of the show. Is there any comparison with the U.S. Open, the Open, the PGA Championship, or is this just it? Like, can anyone make an argument that...
Well, each tournament has its own distinct character. But as we were talking about yesterday, the Masters, as we all know, is different because it's the only tournament consistently played at the same venue. I love the Open Championship when they go to St. Andrews, but that's once every 5 years. Or once every 10. This is just one of the most hallowed venues in all of sports. I mean, we talk about Fenway. We talk about you know, old Yankee Stadium. You talk about Wrigley Field. You talk in football, Lambeau. You know, the Big House in Michigan, the Horseshoe. You know, you go. You talk about all these storied venues. Well, the reality is, Augusta National is as good a venue as there is.
I think a lot of people are excited about it, as they often are for the Masters, and hopefully the weather will subside for a little bit. And that's kind of your Master. Who tees off first, Tommy?
Well, first tee times is 7 a.m. Well, you just took the list away from me. Swafford and Thompson. I'll be honest, I'm going to have to click. Hudson Swafford is at 7 a.m. this morning in the first pairing, along with Michael Thompson. So those are the... Those are the first two. I was just scrolling
through.
Couldn't
tell you one thing about them.
Exactly. So Sandy Lyles right after that. Ian Woosnam in the first few wave of players, but you want to get down to the names you know. And I'm just scrolling down. It's going to be on in the afternoon before you get to names like Jason Day, who tees off at 8:36 later on this morning. Brooks Koepka is at 9:06, and these are Eastern times, I bet. No, these are Central times. So those are some of the bigger names. It's defending champion Dustin Johnson at 9:30. Another thing about the Masters, you get like Larry Mize. I see Larry Mize here at 10:18. Fred Couples in the field. All the former champions are in there, and it gives that great flavor as well. So Zach Johnson, 11:36 this morning. Justin Rose at 11:48. Billy Horschel at noon. So tee times all the way up until 1 o'clock today.
Okay. Couple more headlines.
Jordan Spieth, by the way, at 1 o'clock too.
Couple more headlines before we get into the question of your favorite breakfast sandwich this morning. Saturday Down South ranked Arkansas as the number two team in the SEC basketball power rankings, which is pretty cool. The fact that there's so many people high on Arkansas. Jeff Borzillo of ESPN.com had them at 12. Jeff Goodman had them at 14 this upcoming season. Now, those are national rankings, not conference rankings. But when it comes to conference basketball standings, looking ahead to next year, they had Bama at 1 and Arkansas at 2. Speaking of basketball, this was Mark Vidal talking about the Baylor Bears and the Gonzaga Bulldogs. The fact that they heard that Gonzaga had ordered 6 cases of champagne prior to the national title game. He told Sirius Radio that yesterday. That motivated the Baylor Bears even more. And it was, I don't know if any of you, how many of you watched Gonzaga throughout the tournament, but whether it's Jacob Timme or Corey Kispert, they were just obnoxious, seemingly every basket they had. Timme would always point to his mustache and point up. They were down by 15 against Baylor, and he still did that after a dunk. You don't do that, man. You go back and play defense because your team's getting their butts kicked. So I kind of enjoyed, not only for my dad's sake, but the way Gonzaga's antics were getting out of control, that annoyed me a little bit. And last headline I want to get to this morning before we get into the conversation, the best breakfast sandwich. Dak is throwing again. Dak Prescott. Saw this video yesterday that was put out on social media. You've got to love that if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan with the excruciating injury that he suffered this past season. And Cowboys, on another note, signed Jeremy Sprinkle to a one-year contract, former Razorback. So Jerry gets another Arkansas guy into his facility. We'll see what Sprink can do this upcoming season. We spoke to the fact that, according to Chris Mortensen, Jerry Jones really likes Kyle Pitts. Jeremy Sprinkles had some good seasons early on in his career at the NFL. Hopefully he can be productive with Dak Prescott as his quarterback. And those are your quickie headlines. We'll ask the breakfast sandwich conversation coming up in just a little bit. If you want to hop into it, be a call via text at 877-377-6963. Or you can get at us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Hitthatline.com. However, if you want to email us, you can do that as well this morning.
Hey, we are brought to you by The Fence Man. If you always wanted powered automatic gates and you weren't sure who to call that could build or design or install or service and maintain and take care of powered automatic gates for your home or business, hey, that's our friends at The Fence Man, 782-3936. They do it all. Custom wrought iron installations, automatic gates, controlled access systems, commercial or residential, wrought iron or chain link. They do every kind of powered automatic gate you can imagine. And they have 18-month same as cash financing available as well. So for your custom fence and gate needs, call The Fence Man, 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. He ain't afraid of no work.
I know it's not college football season, but
it's always college football season.
It's always college football season here on the Morning Rush. And part of college football is tailgating, which, knock on wood, we'll have back this upcoming season. Now, some of you for 11 a.m. games sit there at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. You're making a variety of different things. So I'd like to ask you this morning, again, call or text in, what is the best breakfast sandwich out there? Best breakfast sandwich out there. I got a text from Chad in Northwest Arkansas. He says the prime rib biscuit from Hardee's is his absolute favorite. Have you had that?
I have not had that. I mean, we're always here. But I'm going to tell you, when we get to go to Hardee's and we're doing the show, and that's one thing I'm hoping is back for this fall. We always do a couple of morning rushes live at Hardee's. They have a summer sausage, smoked summer sausage, egg and cheese biscuit. you know, that would be my go-to. So he's on the right track at Hardee's because there's no better fast food biscuit.
Greg,
probably no better homemade biscuit than Hardee's. But the I think it's the smoked summer sausage, egg and cheese. That'd be my choice.
Greg in Fort Smith agrees with him. Derek in Fayetteville texts in. He says the chorizo egg and cheese burrito from Mr. Taco Loco in college is his favorite breakfast burrito. That is a Phil Elston and Ty Richardson favorite.
That's your spot, isn't it?
Love that.
You had me at chorizo.
Are you, if you had your choice of bread for bacon, egg, and cheese, are you on biscuit, bagel, bread, or muffin? Like sourdough, muffin, bagel, biscuit.
If the biscuit's from Hardee's, you can't beat that. You
can't beat that.
Texas toast, like they do it at Sonic, the Texas toast. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a sandwich, that's the only way
to go. That's the way to go.
Bagel? No way. I mean, bagels are fine, but I want to put cream cheese on a bagel.
Not bacon, egg, and cheese.
I mean, the bagel's all going to fall out and all that. No, if I'm going to do it, let's get some real bread in here.
Do you like chicken biscuits? Love chicken biscuits?
I know I know this slender, sleek physique makes you question me on that.
Did you get back on the wagon last night or what?
Yeah, I was on the wagon last night.
I didn't. I had two barbecue sandwiches, fries for lunch, and then shrimp.
How about this? I only ate one meal yesterday. Does that count?
What was it, though?
Well, I had shrimp last night.
Okay. Fried?
I tell you what, I was craving. Don't ask questions like that. That's personal.
So fried.
I was craving some of that St. Elmo's cocktail sauce. So I had to have some of that. So I had to have shrimp. So.
Of the chicken biscuits, do you go honey butter, spicy, or regular?
Usually regular, but I love the spicy, too.
Okay. Spices are my go-to. You like McGriddles? I have some.
They're okay.
Yeah, I think they're a little
overrated. Yeah.
I think they're a little overrated. Do you go bacon, egg, and cheese or sausage, egg, and cheese when you...
Ooh.
Or ham, egg, and cheese?
Egg, and cheese if it's good thick-cut ham.
I'm bacon, egg, and cheese of those three. I think. You ever put guac on a breakfast sandwich?
Nope. I've had guac at breakfast.
What'd you
generally put in Mexico, though?
Just an egg.
See,
on
in Mexico, there's guac and there's beans at every meal. So, I know you've been to Mexico, but you order two eggs, bacon, you're going to get beans and guac with it, you know?
The food, and I've told you this, and I think I've shared this with our listeners. The resort we stayed at, I'm not picky at all, but the food was just not good. And it was all-inclusive, so we got to find...
Yeah, well, all-inclusives are hit or miss. Listen, if they've got you on the hook and you're already prepaid for all the food, well, you think they're going to give you the best? Generally not. So I got to be careful with those places.
But cruise ships are all-inclusive, and the food's, like, really good on those, right?
I don't know. I've never been on a cruise.
I'd like to go on a cruise. That might be where I end up going.
I think that's hit or miss, too.
Really? What about a pancake bacon sandwich? You ever like to fold up a pancake, put some bacon in, syrup?
Get the pancake sausage and pancake on a stick deal. You can buy it at Sam's, and we've done those at the house.
Have you had a Beyond Meat sandwich yet?
My wife's tried some of these. I don't see the point. I don't know. There are some lines I will draw in the sand.
That's one of them.
And that's one of them. The Beyond Meat stuff, I'm out.
Fisher and Charleston text in, and you can text in yours too, 877-377-6963. We'll come back to sports. We are talking your favorite breakfast sandwiches this morning. He says the sausage biscuit from Doug's on Zero Street. You ever had that?
Nope.
I have not.
I've heard about it.
Chicken minis is what JT Hot Spring says. What's the most you've ever eaten of chicken minis?
Only a handful of those, but I'm telling you, you brought one of them trays of just the nuggets in from Chick-fil-A. I bet we could put a whole tray down in the show.
Do it together.
Yeah.
The Wendy's Breakfast Baconator. I don't think I've had Wendy's breakfast yet.
I have not either.
William and Jonesboro says. Jeff Taylor texted me the honey butter chicken biscuit. I've had the Whataburger one. I haven't had the Wendy's one.
Hardee's had a honey butter biscuit because Officer Breeden used to bring those by here.
Okay.
Back in the John Neighbors days.
Colton in Fayetteville says the ribeye.
We'd eat them with a fork. They were so good.
Really?
Yeah, you had to. They were a mess.
They
were great.
The ribeye egg and cheese. Is that like an actual ribeye steak?
Where from?
He didn't say.
Oh, okay.
He did not say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, it sounds good. It sounds great.
Now I'm hungry.
So now, I know we're talking about this. Did you say this at the top that I just missed it? Is it National Breakfast Sandwich Day or why?
We got into an argument with some Morning Rush listeners yesterday what the best one is.
Okay.
And I figure I asked our listeners.
Well, I mean, to each their own on bacon or sausage or ham or whatever. There is no debate about who has the best breakfast biscuit, right?
It's Hardee's.
It's Hardee's. And not, you know, I mean, not because we work with those guys on a regular basis. Just, I mean, try them all. It's not even close. I mean, grandma can't make them that good. That's how good they are.
Did your grandma make homemade biscuits?
Well, both my grandmothers could cook. Man, both of them. My mom's mom, she thought you needed lard in the pan to cook bacon, though. I mean, that's how good a cook she was. Everything was...
Everything fried.
Out of the garden, you know, fried. It was all, you know, great cook. You didn't get a meal there that wasn't tasty.
Justin Van Buren likes Brahms biscuits and Hardee's Monster biscuits. You ever had a Monster biscuit?
No. Nope.
I don't think I have either.
Nope.
Eric from Branson says an Egg McMuffin.
Not an Egg McMuffin guy.
I'm not a huge
too
one
dry.
Here. Burger King's bacon, egg, and cheese croissant, which that's what Jacob and Mansfield says. I don't know if I've ever had one of those.
You're not. The croissant
isn't it just like filled with butter?
Yeah, that's why it's
so
good.
It's good,
light and fluffy. Got a little sweetness to it.
We passed this way, and this is one of my brother's favorite spots, the Hog Wild Burrito at Rick's Iron Skillet in Fayetteville. I've yet to go there, but my brother swears by that place. Need to try it. Jeff and Roland says the bacon, egg, and cheese toaster sandwich from Sonic. I don't know where the last time I've had. I don't think I've had Sonic breakfast since high school, Tommy, because when I go in the morning at 5 or 6 or 7, I'll get a chili cheese dog because it's full menu.
Well, we don't go at 5. That's the problem. Nothing's open on our way into work. There was a Hardee's on my track end, and then they tore it down about 2 years ago and put a Raising Cane's there. And now nothing is open at 5:30 in the morning on the way in, other than the donut shop, you know, and I don't want donuts.
What time is Chick-fil-A open?
I don't know. You know, they're not even there yet when I go
probably
by.
Probably better for our health.
Probably better that we don't.
Open.
Yeah.
James of Charleston says, Tommy, Hardee's biscuits are major leagues. Everyone else is junior varsity.
Absolutely. He gets it. There's someone that understands what's going on. So, it's not even close.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
RD, you wrote a good piece on Chris Likes yesterday, and I really enjoyed reading it. And one of the things you talked about with him is what he said about Eric Musselman and the staff recruiting them. They said, "We need you." I remember that clearly. It wasn't just Muss. It was the whole coaching staff, and he felt like that they did the best job virtual recruiting. Richard, from what you picked up from these different high school basketball players or grad transfers that are looking at Arkansas, what stands out about the Razorback staff's ability to virtual recruit?
They just connect. They just connect with the kids and give them a layout how they think that they can help them develop and maybe get to the next league and next level. And let's face it, that's where everybody, all these kids want to go. They want to go to the NBA. Coach Muss and many of the staff members have been there, and that gives them cred, you know, with the kids. So and they just communicate so well with them, and they stay on them relentlessly. And you know, when you say we need you, but you may be in contact with them just occasionally. That doesn't send a word, you know. Doesn't give the message a strong message. But when you're constantly in contact with them and letting them know how important they are to your program, that's obviously what they did with Chris.
So that's one of the guys that they brought in. They also brought in DC Tony. Richard, who are some of the other grad transfers that Arkansas basketball seems to be in a mix for in the coming weeks, man?
Jaden Gardner from East Carolina, he's one to keep an eye on. 6'7", about 225. Christian Bishop, he's also about 6'7", 225 from Creighton. Stanley Amunde from South Dakota, he's one to keep an eye on. Marvin Johnson, a guard. Those are just a few, but those are some of the guys that than I've been paying attention to. And there's obviously there's a lot of buzz with every one of them because their name has been associated with Arkansas.
Seeing how Muss is utilizing the transfer portal, what he's willing to do to overturn the roster. If you're a high school athlete out here, highly coveted, four-star, five-star type player, does that draw you in? Does that maybe give you a little pushback? Seeing a coach that's willing to overhaul the roster on a regular basis might not be for everyone, Richard.
Well, the thing is, just about every school in the country is kind of doing that as far as the transfer portal. Obviously, say the top 50, top 100 prospects in the country, they're always going to get recruited. It's the kids that maybe from 100 to 200 that now, because of the portal, they may not get an opportunity on the high D1 level because the coaches are going into the portal. They may have to go to a mid-major or go D2 or something. It's just the nature of the beast, and let's face it. The coaches nowadays, they have to win immediately. You could win, have two or three strong seasons, then have a subpar season, then another subpar season, and you're gone. So these coaches have to look out for number one, mm-hmm. even more so than they ever have. Since college basketball has been around and college football has been around. So there's no playing around. You got to win, and you got to do it in any way, form, or fashion that you can.
Well, let's say if you're interviewing for a job at a Power 5 school, the last thing you walk in with is a four-year plan to rebuild. I mean, now with the transfer portal, you better have it done in 2 years, and that's becoming the expectation. The four-year model is out the window.
Oh no, and we've seen that. We've seen that in football. We've seen that in basketball. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you got 4 or 5 years to turn a program around. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, it's a lot. The expectation, like you just mentioned, is a lot mm-hmm. quicker than that. Richard Davenport with us, Recruiting Thursday here on the Morning Rush. Richard, let's transition to football. I've been so focused on basketball as of late with the transfer portal, different guys coming in, different guys coming out. Who are some high-profile football names that Arkansas fans should be paying attention to within deciding their commitments within the coming month or so?
Well, nothing is official, but I think there's a decent chance that Quincy McAdoo from Clarendon, who's currently committed to Florida State, I think, he may be hearing something about him pretty soon. I'm not saying that he's going to commit to Arkansas or anything like that. Maybe he may say, hey, I'm going to take some visits and stuff like that, but we'll see with him. And Marion Harris from Joe T. Robinson, everybody talks about him, at least from the fans' perspective, because he's a four-star offensive tackle from Joe T. Robinson. I think Arkansas is in good shape with him. Josh White, defensive end from Cedar Grove High School in Georgia, who I wrote about on Tuesday, looked like he was going to commit to a school on March the 25th, and he backed off of that. Now he's going to take some official visits, and Arkansas is going to be one of them. I like C.J. Smith from Orlando Bishop Moore High School, receiver, who also wrote about recently. He recently ran a 10.5 200 meters, and he ran a 10.59 the week before, and both times I saw a video of both of those races. And the guy was never challenged, and I think he's got very, very great speed. I think he can go from a 10.52 in the 10.4 range if he gets pushed in the state meet, and possibly even a 10.3. So you get in a 10.4, 10.3 range in high school, that's obviously elite speed. And those are just some of the guys that I'm paying attention to, but not all of them.
I don't think one of the guys that you mentioned, and maybe I missed it, was Faison Wilson. I think I say his name right, and I know that he's down. Is it Arkansas and Bama who he's down to, RD?
Oh, you're talking about Faison Wilson.
Faison Wilson, I apologize.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was going to commit a couple times you know, the past 2 weeks and kind of has backed off. We'll just see how that works out. I mean, he's a big receiver from Duncanville, Texas, about 6'4", 6'5", about 210 pounds. So we'll just have to see how that plays out.
What has stood out to you? Let's talk football for a second here with the red-white game a week from Saturday. What has stood out to you from the practice reports and what you've seen through the two open Saturday scrimmages? What's caught your eye to this point?
Well, it does look like that KJ Jefferson has kind of separated himself a little bit, even though I don't think that Coach Pittman is totally pleased with the way he's playing. But I think we kind of knew going in that KJ would probably be the guy, but it seems like that no one is really elevated enough to challenge him. I think that's one of the deals. And from what I understand, the offensive line is overall having a good spring. There seems to be a buzz around the building that the confidence level in that group is much higher. And then, just some of the guys on defense. I think Tashad Stewart, I'm hearing a lot of good things about him, the defensive end from Jonesboro. I've always liked him. I think you're also looking for some of those younger linebackers to give you a little bit more depth, to be able to give Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan some breathers, Christopher Paul and some of the others. But those are just kind of a few things that I've noticed and what I've been hearing.
You follow the tweets and social media of a lot of these recruits, and I know that this practice or the red-white game will be open for people to attend, obviously, then on TV as well. What feedback are you getting? Who do you expect to see in attendance, and who do you know will be following along?
You know, I haven't been able. There's some guys saying that they're going to visit for the spring game, but none of them said they definitely will. So it's with 2 weeks out. I think probably next week is probably the best time for to start putting a list together, because a lot will say, you know, yeah, I want to go, but obviously when it comes to making that trip, and also the possibility of them opening up, the NCAA opening things up in June, is also in the mind of some kids. Well, I make a trip to a school when I can't interact with the coaches or tour the facilities. Why don't I just wait till June?
Particularly if you can get an official and the school pays the expenses to get there.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of them are thinking about. And Arkansas's already got some several kids already lined up for June the 4th weekend. So it will definitely heat up if the NCAA open things up. Hopefully the case count continues to go down a little bit, but there's some areas in the country that they're going up, so who knows.
Richard, before we let you go, we were kicking around the can this morning, the best breakfast sandwich. For your money, what is the best breakfast sandwich out there?
Okay, I hate to go with a chain because I support local, local owned businesses, but also chains are owned by local people too. I'm a Chick-fil-A egg white grill guy.
Egg white grill, okay.
Have you ever had one of those?
I have not. It's what, grilled chicken, muffin, and egg?
And egg white and cheese. Mm. Oh, my God, it's good. David Basil's a big fan of it, too.
Okay.
Sounds too healthy for us, Richard. Grilled chicken.
It's not as healthy. You got to have some unhealthy stuff too.
Yeah, we need some more butter, some sugar, some honey.
Some grease.
Yeah.
Some gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. RD, appreciate it as always, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Same time, same place.
All right, man. We'll see you guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
It's Dog Farting Awareness Day. Did you know that?
I do now. Glad you brought that up.
I pull up the
I don't have a dog, website. So I don't guess I need to celebrate.
We have a dog, Maggie, and she actually has been bad about that lately. And she growled at us the other night when we were just staring at her, and she started growling at us. Weirdest thing.
Well, I'm glad. That tells you there's a holiday for everyone and every occasion then. So
I guess, man, there's too many holidays. We'll talk about what's going on with Muss in this transfer portal coming up. 15 minutes, RD Richard Davenport joins us for a little recruiting talk as well.
Hey, Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith could turn your backyard into your oasis, the backyard of your dreams. That's what they do. They do backyard designs at Burton Pools and Spas, whether it's an in-ground pool, above-ground pool, or the semi-in-ground pools. A great way to meet in the middle without breaking the bank is a semi-in-ground pool. 15-foot models right now start at less than $10,000. So you can have that backyard that you've always wanted, the pool for the kids to enjoy. We got ours open about a week ago. We had five kids in there with my two and three others from the neighborhood.
There you go.
Were in there last night. It's a great way to make sure you can keep an eye on what your kids are up to have a pool in your backyard. Stop in at Burton Pools and Spas, Zero Street in Fort Smith. They're also in Springdale just off I-49 at the 412 exit. And you can look at everything they offer online at burtonpools.com. Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun.
Now, have you jumped off your deck into the pool yet, or is that something I'm going to have to man up and do for you?
I wouldn't even let you do that. Probably not deep enough for that. We don't have a diving pool.
How?
About 6 feet on one end.
Yeah, it's probably not the best.
No, that's about as deep as it gets.
Have you ever jumped off one of those, and I think back to either the Sandlot, there's other movies as well, there's those high dives, and then there's like the Olympic ones, like the University of Arkansas has
like a concrete platform, not a diving board, but a diving platform. That's when you know it's big time.
I've jumped off one of those before. It's quite a thrill. It's quite fun.
I have not done that. When I was a kid, we went to swimming. We didn't have a pool, so we went to Ben Guerin Park, and they had a pool back then. It's where the soccer fields or whatever at now. They tore it down. The water park. But
you've been to that?
They had a high dive though.
Okay.
With a 12-foot end, so you could, it was a big deal when you were 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, and got the courage to just jump off the high dive. So, and man, that is that water cold. You get down there about 6 or 7, man, it was cold water. It wasn't a heated pool.
How long could you hold your breath for? Because I could hold mine for over a minute back in the day.
I can't do that now.
My lung capacity is not what it was.
I thought you had perfect lungs. That's what you declared yesterday.
Well, I followed it up. I've smoked a cigarette here and there, so they
don't have perfect lung. Yeah.
Probably not perfect, but yeah. Breathing hasn't been an issue to this point. Hopefully, it won't.
I don't know. You used to do that, and it scared me to death as a kid because when I was little, some kids were doing that at the pool. Went down, and one of them passed out.
Ooh!
And it was a bad scene that day at the pool.
Yikes! Yeah. So Musselman's got 13 transfers that he's pulled in since he arrived at Arkansas. 5 in the 2019 recruiting class, 5 in 2020. He's got 3 so far in 2021. If I had to guess, he's probably going to have 5 in this class with Moses Moody's pending departure. Maybe someone else or two, and they'd still have an open scholarship, I think. I got to do the math. Got to do that on the run because I feel like it changes every single week. And his prowess is known in the portal. One of the things Chris Light talked with the Pig Trail Nation about is their ability to recruit via calls, via text, via video presentations. That's one of the things that this staff has done a tremendous job of. And with Arkansas, they're starting to become a destination landing for kids that are transferring. That's big because what Eric Musselman and the staff have the opportunity and ability to do is blend in grad transfers with some of these younger players like a K.K. Robinson, a Devo Davis, a Jalen Williams, an incoming freshman, Chance Moore, the 2022 class where you have Joseph Pinion already committed, and you hopefully get some of those other guys to commit as well. I think Muss is tinkering and figuring out that he has enough in-state talent where he can combine that with older veteran grad transfers, and it might be a little rocky at first like it was this past season, but the end goal is postseason success, and they had that in year number two.
Yeah, we know how they did in non-conference play, but do you really remember a lot of the details, and do you base a lot of your opinion on this season on what happened in the non-conference portion, November and December, late November, December? No, of course we don't. This is a sport that's all about the postseason and how you get them, and you get the best in-state kids that fit what you need, and then you go find the other pieces in the transfer portal. And I think what we are seeing is that's going to be business as usual as long as Eric Musselman's running this program, is he's going to be the guy that is willing to turn the roster over, keep the pressure on players to perform. If you're not performing, you don't fit the culture. All of these things that check the boxes, not going to be here long. And he certainly isn't signing up to be married to a player for 4 or 5 years, because that's what the scholarship says.
He'll take that, though. Like, is anyone going to be mad if Devo Davis or Jalen Williams or K.K. Robinson decide to stay 4 years?
The transfer portal has just changed everything. And no, but do we really believe all of those players will be here for 4 years?
I don't think
so. It's unlikely.
Yeah, it's unlikely. First phone call of the morning goes to Philip in Bentonville. Wants to talk about Eric Musselman. Philip, what do you got for us on Recruiting Thursday? Turn your radio down, bud.
Hey, how's it going, guys? All right, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, do you compare... Can you kind of compare Musselman as Calipari on the level of, you know, Kentucky does the one and done, and Calipari was real successful for years by doing that, and Musselman is using the transfer portal. So do you see, you know, instead of doing the one and done, now going to more of getting in the transfer portal and pulling those guys out instead of doing the one-and-dones like they used to be a few years ago?
So you think some of the big-time programs, the Dukes and the Kentuckys, may follow suit on what Muss is doing?
Correct.
Well, here would be my question. Some of these players that you might go get, and I know players develop from the freshman year to the sophomore, junior, senior year, but a lot of those players that a Duke or a Kentucky might want, they'd have gotten to begin with when they were freshmen, right?
Right.
So I think there's some merit in what you're saying, but I think the caliber of player they're getting, they're getting him as freshman, the caliber of player that Musselman's wanting to get maybe as a junior or a graduate transfer senior. And thanks for the call, Phil. But I think that's the question he's answered. I think I got the right answer there. I mean, they're getting the elite of the elite, cream of the crop to begin with, is what Duke and Kentucky have already been doing in the last 2 or 3 years. You're trying to go get the ones that you missed, the diamonds in the rough, and would they rather have a junior or a sophomore? And I think that's really, you know, maybe the better answer is, if you think through this, what would you rather have of your Calipari and Coach K? A guy that comes in as a junior that's maybe not as good as some of your freshmen but can provide maturity and leadership?
I think it's combination.
An interesting dynamic.
It's a combination. You have to combine it, because you saw this season, you had some dynamic freshmen, you had some veteran grad transfers, and you had a one and done in Moses Moody.
Kentucky's shown you can't win with all young players. You know, they've proven that more than once, and they keep going back to it, hoping to have the Fab Five again, and it just doesn't work out.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Brought to you by Breeden RV Center.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.